Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
The Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, along with the Prime Ministers of Spain, Slovenia and Malta, have announced that they stand ready to recognise the state of Palestine as the only way to achieve peace and security in the region. And in another European breakthrough, the EU's 27 leaders unanimously called for a ceasefire in Gaza for the first time since the outbreak of the war between Israel and Hamas. Meanwhile, at the United Nations in New York, a US-sponsored resolution calling for the imperative of an immediate and sustained ceasefire in Gaza has failed to pass at the UN Security Council. Before we came on air, I spoke with the Palestinian ambassador to Ireland, Dr. Jilan Waba Abdelmajid. I began by asking her for her reaction to that statement by Ireland and three other EU nations that they stand ready to recognise Palestine as a state.
That is a very promising news. Actually, when I read the statement a few minutes ago, it gave me this impression of there is some hope. The recognition of the state of Palestine is very important, and we called all the EU and the international community to recognize the state of Palestine. It's something that would give us hope. And when I see this, I see that there is some promise of this among the EU countries. Yes, it's a few countries, but I know that Ireland is leading in that, and that would give me taking from there to say thank you very much for all the Irish efforts.
And it's a long way off widespread recognition, isn't it, in the European Union? Only 9 of 27 members currently recognise Palestinians' right to a state.
I know that, but I mean, when there is an initiative that taken and considered by a few quiet of the Western EU countries, this would give a better position, and any kind of hope that would give to the Palestinian by the recognition, that would be highly appreciated. Mm-hmm.
What about what's going on or what's happened at the United Nations in New York today? A US-sponsored draft resolution on an immediate ceasefire in Gaza has failed to pass in the Security Council. How do you respond?
To be honest with you, I mean, I hope that the previous resolutions that were proposed to the UN, the Security Council before, would pass and would save more than 31,000 Palestinians. For the minute, I don't have we need to read more about this and why this happened today. But let's talk about, there is another resolution that will be proposed by France calling for the ceasefire. It seems that there is something we're going on, only calling for the ongoing efforts. For the minute, I don't have official statement over this, that coming from Palestine, so I cannot go in details, but let me wish that immediate ceasefire to be taken, and that was if that was taken before, that would save so many thousands of lives of the Palestinians.
As I speak to you, Ambassador, the Secretary of State for the United States, Antony Blinken, has finished speaking in Tel Aviv, and he was being asked about the ceasefire talks led by Qatar. He says that the parties are down to a few remaining gaps. Do you hold much hope for a ceasefire or an agreement in those talks, given that Israel is saying they will go ahead with a ground offensive in Rafah with or without US support?
This is bad news to hear about that Israel insists and it will continue to invade Rafah with all these efforts that's coming from the United States, Qatar, Egypt, and the international community as putting that effort with Israel, and Israel still reject this. This is what makes us feel that there is something. What's going on? The people on the ground are really suffering and really looking for hope. Any kind of discussions going around for the ceasefire, it gives us hope. And at the end of the day, there is no ceasefire. The people continue to suffer. We're talking about famine almost in Gaza. Mm-hmm. I mean, last night, this bombardment against Al Shifa Hospital, it got one of my close friend's mother. She stuck there. They bombarded the house. She's an old lady, and I know her. She's my classmate. She's my friend, and she's an old lady living by herself. Mm-hmm. They just bombard her house. And for a couple of days, I was asking about her. They didn't know anything. And today, this morning, they just informed me that she was killed. She was like, you know, murdered under the rubble. Imagine, like, you know, these people who are waiting every day for the ceasefire. Mm-hmm. Enough, I think the people are exhausted.
The famine is really getting there. The famine is widespread, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But since you mentioned civilian deaths and killing, I had the a senior advisor to the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Ophir Falk, on the programme yesterday, and I asked him about innocent people being caught up and killed in the conflict. His response was that that is all on Hamas. He said if Hamas stopped threatening and attacking Israel and if they released hostages, then, and that is the Israeli line, then there would be no need for a conflict. But they are going, he said, into Rafah to eliminate the last few battalions of Hamas that are hiding there among civilians. So how do you respond to that?
Oh my God, Cormac, I mean, so far, 72% of the people who were killed in Gaza are women and children. What is this concern of Hamas? I mean, Israel is bombarding Gaza. Israel is attacking the Palestinian people, the civilians that are until now more than, like, you know, 31,000 Palestinian people were killed. And as I said, like, you know, more than 72% are women and children. I mean, the Israel are the occupying power. The Israelis who's attacking the Palestinian civilians. I don't like, you know, I don't want to say this is silly what they are talking about, but this is exactly what's going on. Israel is the occupying power. Israel attacking the Palestinians. There is no justification whatsoever, like calling Hamas, 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 Hamas. We're talking about Palestinian. I don't see Hamas on the ground. I see Palestinian people who are suffering and killed every day. This is what I see.
But it seems that the ceasefire talks are the major obstacle to an agreement, it seems, from an Israeli point of view, is that they say if the hostages were released, then there could be agreement. Why aren't the hostages being released if it would lead to a ceasefire?
To be honest with you, it's not me to ask this question. I mean, this negotiations is going around here and there in Qatar and Egypt, and everybody's like with good intention wanted to bring this to a stability. But it seems that there is like, you know, people like Israel or whatever who doesn't want to continue with that.
And I you know, the, would this, you call this, on Hamas, like, for example, to release the hostages?
Yes, like we called for the release of the innocent hostages. I mean, from the beginning, we say that we're against killing of civilians. We are against killing and taking hostages of like, you know, normal people, civilians, I mean, children and women. This is not acceptable in our morals and our principles. We call for this, but it's something that it goes beyond. For more than 6 months, Israel continue to killing the Palestinians. This is unfair and unjust.
And now we're in a position, Ambassador, where there are over 2 million people in Rafah and in that region fearing attack and fearing the ground invasion. What's your read of the situation? Because it seems that up to now, in recent times, that the US supported Israel but was able to advise Israel and that they were heeded. Now it seems that the Prime Minister of Israel is saying we will attack Rafah with or without US support.
I, to be honest with you, I don't have a saying over this. You know what? I have my family, were displaced like 3 times and end up in Rafah. Every day I receive the call from them when this will finish, when this war will stop. I mean, the people, the normal people, are really eager for like, you know, they wanted to go back to their normal life. However, like, there is no normal life in Gaza because Israel destroyed everything. To be honest, from the beginning, as I said it before, like, you know, this financial and political coverage that was given to Israel bring them to act with impunity, and we reach now to the point that Israel doesn't care about what the other said, what the Americans, what the international community call for, like, you know, not to invade Rafah. To be honest with you, I don't know what to say. Like, you know, if the United States started to say that not to invade Rafah and Israel insists to go ahead with its plans to invade Rafah, this has put us, like, you know, in a big question. What's going on?
The other major question is how to feed people who are starving, the entire population of Gaza, according to Antony Blinken. And Volker Tuck, the UN human rights chief, is blaming Israel for what he says is an entirely preventable catastrophe of starvation and famine. How could this situation, the humanitarian situation and starvation, be alleviated at this point, in your opinion?
To be honest with you, I mean, we see that there was airdrops coming from Jordan, France, and even the United States, and this, like, you know, ships that coming from Cyprus. All of these is not, it's not like, you know, it's we really grateful to the people who really show this support and to prevent this hunger or starvation. But this is like, you know, these quantities and in that way, it's not enough. I mean, we have the Rafah crossings. We have other five crossings that that connect Gaza to the whole world. Israel is the only one who control bringing the food to Gaza. It's, there is no food, there is no water, there is no electricity. And to be honest with you, and let me say it, like, you know, it's very hard for me as a Palestinian ambassador to start to talk about this. However, this is very, very cruel to our cause. I mean, we have a just cause, a cause of, like, you know, aspiration for freedom and for state, a free state of Palestine. And we talk about this, you know, what Israel led us to this, talking about, like, you know, starvation and famine, and people are really in need to food. And I know that. I mean, how many people of my friends or my family who live there, like, say that we lost weight, 10 kilos, 20 kilos, some people like that. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. It's really from a true friends and family. Mm-hmm. Members who live there and say that Israel is controlling the borders. Israel is the one who holds responsible to bring the food and to bring all the necessities of Gaza into Gaza. I know the international efforts, like, we highly grateful for this effort, but this is not enough at the minute.
And really briefly, the man I mentioned yesterday, Ophir Falk, said there is no lack of aid or food in Gaza. He said there is no starvation. Because he said,
No, there is the starvation. And, you know, you're talking to a person who have family there, whom, like, you know, I talk to them. Sometimes it take like a couple of weeks to be able to connect because there is no even lines to connect there. But I know exactly that at this minute, especially when you talk about a month ago, 1.5 months ago, and coming to this time, mm-hmm. No, there is a starvation. And I know that family members in the north of Gaza really starve of food. I'm not talking about Rafah. I'm talking about the northern and the middle of Gaza. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a hunger. We're not exaggerating of saying this.
Well, Palestinian Ambassador Dr. Gilan Wahba Abdelmajid, thank you very much indeed for joining us on Drive Time.